ending it. Everybody will be happy over there.
We need an elevator or something. My knees just don't like stairs no more. I tell you the truth, y'all. Y'all pray for me. I'm trying to go until November before I get the thing replaced. So if you see me fall, I ain't been drinking. I just got a bad knee. Okay. In everything you want to be, there are standards you must learn. The do's and the don'ts, the rules and the basic knowledge that will identify who or what you're trying to be. I spent 6 years in the military, and they had a book called a UCMJ, and that's just an acronym, a definition of letters of uniform military code of justice. That book had codes and how you're supposed to act, whether we were here in the United States or the several places I went overseas. To the Christian, we have the same kind of book, and that's the Bible. If you want to be a good cook, then you need to learn what flavors go together. You need to learn what to put together. Yes, it won't be for long before you be known as a person that can't cook. You want to be a carpenter, a mechanic, bus driver, a teacher, a policeman, a doctor, a lawyer, or whatever you choose to do with your life, you need to learn what makes you good at it. Now, after obeying the call of God through baptism, we're called Christians. And we owe a debt. We owe a debt to the Lord that we might learn what it takes to be the best Christian we can be. 2 Timothy 2:15, if you want to be approved by God, there's reading, studying, and doing you must do. 2 Peter 1:3, all that pertains unto life and godliness is given through the knowledge learned from reading, studying, and doing God's word. In that scripture, it has something that calls virtue. Virtue has the idea of moral conduct, moral, good, earnest living. If you need to have a sermon title, this sermon is called How Is Your Conduct? How is your conduct? And over the years, a lot of us have been here a long time, and there have been saints that have came and gone. They would ask you things such as, how are you doing, son? Are you making ends meet? How are you treating your wife? You know, me and sister so-and-so have been married a long time, and she still looks good. Any old timers ever told you that? She still looks good. They're trying to teach you how to treat your wife. And if you remember Brother Poole, he would say, son, how's your conduct? And he doesn't mean it in this building. He would tell me, son, I don't mean in this building. You got all these eyes watching you in this building. I mean when you're not here, when you're away from here. How's your conduct? Yeah. On Wednesday night, we started studying a study of Romans, which is needed by every Christian in his repertoire of study. The theme of the book is Christian living through laws of faith, not by works. But I know we're in a different era now. Folks just don't want you in their business. And I kind of understand that, you see, because I need to spend my time focusing on trying to handle my own business, along with making sure that I'm keeping God in my business. But one thing I've learned from reading this Bible, this is the family of God. So the church is a family business. You buy a house, they get in your business. You buy a car, they get in your business. You pay cash for those big ticket items, they're going to want to know what kind of business you're in. You're looking for someone to live with for the rest of your life? Lord have mercy. If you don't get in some business, somebody need to get into your business. Because for long before you know, your mate may not be what you want her or him to be. That's because you didn't get into their business. So people get into your business all of the time. But it seems as though when we come to the church, We don't want nobody in our business. We may need some help, or we may need this, or we may need that, but we're only going to tell you what we need to tell you because we don't need you in our business. But somewhere I read, when you cry, I'm supposed to cry. I'm supposed to bear the struggles of the weak. I'm supposed to be mindful of the needy. I'm supposed to be a watchman at the gate. And oh, if I'm supposed to do all of that, at some point in time, I'm going to have to get in your business. And even if that's the case, if you're about God's business, why are you worried about somebody in your business? If you're about God's business, don't worry about folk in your business. But see, God fixed this thing to where if I get in your business, you need to be able to get into mine. You need to make sure that my business is God's business. Else I got no business in yours. See, I can't watch you if I can't watch myself. So we need to be in each other's business when we're trying to take this thing from earth to glory. Because this thing is God's business, and he wants his business to be the right kind of business, because he's trying to take all of us from this place to heaven. So at times, we need to be in each other's business. If I'm going to see to the needy, I need to be in your business. If I'm going to help you, I need to be in your business. But I need to make sure whatever I tell you is the business of God.
Yes.
Paul, in Romans chapter 1, verse 11 through 16, he longed to come to Rome to bring them a spiritual gift. He wanted to comfort the Gentile, knowing that they had a law unto themselves based on morally good, and to the Jew, moral law based on the first five books of the Bible, what Moses gave. These were the law of works, and they had once followed that. But now they have what is called justification by faith, apart from works, which is the law of Christ. But keep in mind, both laws require obedience. Both laws are the binding will of God. In the book of Galatians, folk were afraid of Paul. You know, this ought to be a lesson to us. You be careful what you do in life. Because some things, no matter you say I need to be a Christian, some things are just hard to forget. You need to be careful about the road that you lay down in life. Now, with the help of God, everything is possible. But you have to keep in mind, I'm Curtis. I'm a human. I'm not God. And some things that one may do may grab at me. And it might be very difficult for me to forget. And one of the main things that's hard for me to forget is if you fight your wife. It's very difficult for me. I grew up under the influence of that. So you might be my best friend in here. We might go fishing together, hunting together. We might do all kinds of things. But don't tell me you put your hands on your wife. Because I'm going to have a problem with that. That is not morally good conduct. Neither is it the conduct that God wants from a Christian. So keep that, folks say, don't tell your friends everything anyway. Keep that from me. Because from that point on, I'm going to look at you different. Pray for me. Help me. But I'm going to look at you different. Because you got no business putting your hands on your wife. It's too easy just to walk away. But Paul was kind of known as a bully, some would say. History has him slated as a little guy. Says he was kind of not easy on the eyes. Crooked nose. Bullied folk because of his past. It kind of put me in the memory of when I was a child. I had a little guy at school. He used to bully folk. And he a little bitty guy. Kind of like Frank. And you like, his stature, he ain't got no business bullying nobody. You know, but sometimes little people have that. And my mother, she would send me to Fifth Ward. She put me on the bus. I had some uncles live here. She put me on the bus. I get off on Jensen. and I walk to Mirror Street where my uncles were. And I get on the back of that truck, and they will go cut grass. They go to the more affluent side of town, and we would cut grass. The days that I didn't go with them there, my mother sent me to Acres Home. That's where all my other uncles and cousins were. Now, they didn't have buses at that time went into Acres Home. Y'all do know that, huh? So she had to take me there and drop me off, and I'd get on the truck with my uncles and go cut grass. And I don't feel sorry for them. My uncle sent their kids to college cutting grass. As I pushed that lawnmower and pushed it and pushed it, that summer I began to grow and get a little bigger and get a little stronger. Oh, when school started that next year, Curtis ain't had no problem with no bully. Them days was over with because I had grown. I had gotten larger from working. And I don't know if that's the case why, but from then on, every summer, she would still send me to go cut grass. Paul had become a man of action. 2 Corinthians 11, 23 through 29. He became a man of deep sensitivity. 2 Corinthians 11, 28 and 29. Paul had bettered himself. He became a man of prayer. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 and the following verses. He became a lover of God and of man. 1 Corinthians, the whole chapter 13. Paul wanted them to know there was a difference of law of works and of faith. And that's something that we still need to know. That hadn't changed. Because if you're not careful, you'll get caught up in things that you're doing. And then you will begin to associate your Christianity, that things that you're doing. What you need to understand is the things that you do is a byproduct of having faith in God. So you're going to do them anyway. But to do the things and then base your Christianity on the things, that is the law of works. We're no longer under that. We're under the law of faith, grace, and truth. Now, in our study, we must understand what they call sentence structure and subject matter and context in which law which the book is talking about, because you'll get it confused. There's law of works and there's law of faith. Acts 13, 38 through 39 talks about law of works. There's no justification, no not one being made right. That law is by Moses. Romans 5, 1 through 2, that's the law of faith. Justification by faith and peace. Another example of law of works, Romans 1, 28 through 32. That is the law of works, and that is to death. And then there's the law of faith, saved by grace through faith, no boasting at all. Ephesians 2, 8 through 9. You can't do enough that you can satisfy what God did for you.
Yeah.
So why boast? Why say I've done this and I've done that? Why keep a running tab of what you've done? Why look at somebody else and say, I did this and I did that? And why aren't you doing this? And why aren't you doing that? That is not your place. Your place is to do what God has given you the ability to do. And let the other person do what God has given them the ability to do. Now, the difference between a law and a rule, laws, when broken, they have judgment and penalties. You go out here speeding and you get caught,
yeah,
you can talk all you want to. If the men don't seem sympathetic, you're going to get a ticket.
Well,
and you can go to court and talk all you want to. You're going to either pay it or you're going to go to that class. One of the two. There's penalties and judgment for breaking the law.
Yes.
And it's the same thing with the law of Christ.
Yes.
He says in Matthew 12, 36, there's going to come a time when we have to give an account of how we have kept the laws of faith. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof, how they've lived in this body on the day of judgment. That ought to bring a little bit of fear to us.
Yes. Yes.
You know, not the fear of God, but a fear of not being with God.
Amen.
That ought to make us, like Brother Poole say, keep our conduct in order.
Amen.
Keep it checked. You know, don't treat this place like you do your job. See, on your job, you're going to make them think you're the best thing since sliced bread. And as soon as somebody turn their head, you may be doing something else. This is a 24/7, 7 days a week job. No matter what goes on at work, no matter what goes on in your family, no matter what goes on in the church, this is a 24/7, 7 days a week attitude. Something that you need to keep if you're going to keep the laws of God. Romans 14, 10 through 12, it is written that every knee shall bow before God and be at judgment at the judgment seat of Christ to give an account of the things done in his body. See, Paul had been a persecutor. So people remembered that. But see, what it does, it gives vent to the word of God that if you let God in your life, he can fix things. Here's a man that persecuted folk, that killed folk for being Christians. Now, all of a sudden, he's on the Christian side. You ever seen a guy that you grew up with? Those are some of the hardest people for you to get to infer, you know, to come to the Christ, because they remember how you used to act. They remember all that stuff. See, I don't know why he can't get this. Well, he remember when you used to do what you used to do. So now it's going to take a while for you to do what you do now, for him to forget what you used to do. It's going to take a while, but God ain't like that. God ain't like that. Once you put your mind to say you want to be with him and you obey him, then what you did, he remembers no more. God is going to help you that you might be able to conduct your life in such a manner that those folk that remember when you used to steal, those folk remember when you used to didn't get their money back to them. Those folk remember all that stuff you used to do. Now they see a difference in you. And then you get the opportunity to tell them, it's not me. It's God. And God will help you through your living and your conduct, which you now follow through the word of God. So, how's your conduct? Each person needs to evaluate himself. I got no time to look at you and try to tell whether you're doing right. So I got to look at myself. I got no time to question you. I have to question myself. And we have to help each other. Because contrary to what you might believe, no man is an island to himself in the house of God. So, judgment. No man knows when it's coming. But according to Revelation 20, 11 and 12, he says, I saw a great white throne, and a small and great stood before judgment. Now, kind of let your imagination work with you for a minute. Say there's judgment time. And you're sitting. You're getting ready for a judgment. You're getting a little nervous. Oh, you believe in the hope. You believe in the hope, but don't fool with me. You're still human. And you're concerned. You're worried. But if you allow me to paraphrase a minute, you ain't got no business sitting down. Because the scripture I just read said they stood up. And then all of a sudden you hear this voice say, get up, stand up before the throne of God and the majesty of Jesus Christ. Stand up. So you stand up and you're sitting there and you're waiting. And then it begins. Curtis, do you remember when you had a choice to do this, but you did that? Curtis, do you remember when your choice wasn't always what it should have been?
Yeah.
And then you say, well, now, Lord, I understand. But see, somewhere I done some reading. I did a little bit. And in my little reading, I read somewhere I got a big brother. Somewhere I got a counselor. And oh Lord, it looks like the one that's sitting on that throne. I couldn't see him then, but I can see him now. And Lord, I got nothing else to say except, Jesus, I need your help. Because see, your father done found some stuff that I didn't do correctly. And I need your help. And then he said, well, that ain't it, Curtis. That ain't all. I remember when you did this. And you look up in dismay, and now you recognize that you got no body, but you want to sweat. Because scripture done already said your body goes back to the grave. Yes. Your spirit goes back to the giver. All right. And now your soul as it is. And you want to sweat because you're scared. Amen. And then he says, Curtis, I remember something else. And you say, Lord, it is what it is. Yes. And if you allow me to paraphrase again, he says, what you say, boy? It is what it is. You trying to be flippant? No, Lord. See, I read a little somewhere. There is no purgatory. Yes, when you have the first death, it is what it is. You're dead. Ain't no more going back, doing over. The Bible don't teach purgatory. So if you don't get that stuff straight here, you ain't going to be able to get it straight nowhere else. If you don't live these laws here, when it's over, and it is what it is. And then Jesus, being my lawyer, say, Lord, I remember in the wee hours of the night, he cried. I remember he asked me to help him. And I'm the judge. I'm the judge. I remember I need to give him a plea. And let me do a little bit more paraphrasing. You know, they go back in the room. And they do a little talking. And although you don't know what your body gonna look like, but if it look anything like we might think it is, it might be some sweating going on. And then they come back out. And they say, peace, be still. We have taken care of that for you. Because you tried. You did. You studied. You read. You ain't the most perfect person in the world, but you followed my word, regardless of what your husband said, regardless of what your wife said, regardless of what your brother or your sister said. You followed, thus said the Lord, so your reward is with me. Watch your conduct. Don't let people dictate it. Don't let people make you. You ever heard somebody say, boy, you about to make me say something to you. Ain't nobody making you say nothing. You going to say it because you want to. Boy, you about to almost went upside your head. No, that's because you wanted to. That's a reaction to whatever's been done to you. Don't let nobody control your conduct. Lord, I did a little bit of reading. Didn't do a whole lot. But I did a little bit of reading. And my Bible tells me that if I put my hands in your hand, you'll take care of me. Yeah. So the question is, how's your conduct? You know, when you're sitting in that seat or when you're standing up as it is, what you going to be able to tell God? Yeah. You know, some things we plan for the future, but some things you need to tend to right now. Yes. for the future.
Come on
now. See, because when it's all over, it is what it is.
Right.
May God bless you. You want to be a child of God? You need to be under the law of faith. You need to come to Jesus. You need to repent. You need to confess. And you need to say, Jesus, regardless of my people, regardless of my kinfolk, regardless of whoever else, I'm going to be with you.
Yes.
And my hope is that the folk that I'm with are with you too.
Amen.
But if they're not, it is what it is.
Yes,
may God
sir.
Bless you.
Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow.